Welcome back to Restoring Home, where we talk about marriage, parenting, and faith. And today's interview is on bedtime storytelling, and we have Talon Tribb with us, and he's visited once before. And we went to your house a few months ago and visited, and since that time, I got wind that you were you had started a new tradition or a new practice in your home. Centered around storytelling time. And so I don't know the details. And we're here today to get all the details from you, or as many as you can share with us. And I just know that with our children, when they were young, I started telling stories to them. And it grew into a tradition. And now my grandchildren are hearing stories from our kids or their parents. But they also like, even our kids as adults, when we're together, they like for me to spin a new yarn and tell them a new story for them and their kids now. And it is really a wonderful way of binding things, binding us together. Mm-hmm. So I think storytelling has just a lot of richness to it for families. And that's why we're talking about it today. But you've been experiencing it. I want to ask you to talk to us a little bit about how you got the idea. You grew up with storytelling? Or how did you come up with this idea? Tell us about what's going on.
No, I grew up with movies. So I barely like to read, but actually a few months ago, some Steve guy showed up at our house.
Yeah, I think I know it. He's a bad dude.
I know, right?
Yeah, dangerous.
It caused a lot of problems, but during that night, a story came up and the girls were crawling all over you.
It was so cute.
And they could have just sat there for hours. Mm-hmm. So at that point, me and Allie were talking because she used to read, and she still does. She reads books to them all night long, every night before bed, typically. And usually for at least an hour or so. Mm-hmm. So I know during that time I'd use that to kind of get things done while they're listening to their books. And so now every Tuesday we decide to try to start my own thing with them a little bit. And I think it's twofold. So Talia's still really young. So Allie takes that time to be with her. Mm-hmm. So they'll focus for that time, you know, reading books with her. And me and the girls will go upstairs to our bedroom, all the lights will be turned off, it'll be dark, we'll all lay on the bed, and they all fight for where they're going to be, and that usually takes a good 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've been doing it now for probably 3 months, every Tuesday night.
Yeah, wow. I bet they look forward to it so much.
Yes. We had a skip last week because we figured we're planning on going
it's
on a
Tuesday
trip.
It's Tuesday tonight, will you get home in time?
Actually did it yesterday to make up for last week, and because of that, we did it extra long last night. So, should be good. Then I'm going to have to worry about it next week when we're gone, figure out how we're going to loop that in, because I won't hear the end of it. But, it's been good times.
Okay. Yeah. Well, give us some of the details, more details, that make story time work for you and the kids.
I think it gives them something to focus on, and our oldest, Eden, she's very into stories and very into books. Mm-hmm. So she kind of guides the other ones, kind of pumps them up. Because she's usually the first one that asks about stories. And then after that, throughout the week, the other ones will be like, oh, is it Tuesday yet? Or are we going to do this yet? And that's just grown and grown.
So how did you get your ideas?
For the stories themselves? Well, multiple areas. So I try to just pick up things with Eden that she says, because she's very good at dropping hints of things she'd like in stories.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the books and different series that they've read try to pull elements out of that, especially the genres we know they like or the dynamics within the stories that they know they like. Mm-hmm. But to be very honest, I've also pulled out things from like my childhood as far as movies that I would never let them watch, but things like that I've seen, and just elements from that, not actually storylines, but edit it and take those little pieces out. So 30 years from now, if they see some of these movies from my past, they're like, oh, I know
that's
what that is.
That came
And honestly, I don't really prep anything. Allie was talking about that because we're kind of different on that. I barely take notes. It doesn't do anything for me. I'll never look at them. It's more memory based. So typically I'll just have an idea of how we're going to start. Mm-hmm. And then it's winging it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of how it flows.
When he starts a story, he doesn't know where it's going.
Yeah.
It just starts going.
Yep, exactly.
It's as much fun for me as it is for the kids.
Right.
Really,
he's
it is.
Like,
it
depends how tired you are.
Yeah.
That's true. Depends on how tired you are. It's true. I have fallen asleep in the middle of a lot of my stories at the end of the day.
I did that yesterday for the first time.
Did you?
I was awake and I was talking, but then I realized, what am I talking about?
You weren't making any sense.
But no one said anything.
I've done that with books I've been reading to the kids. Yeah.
A lot of times, too, though, there's a lot of questions
yeah.
that I stop in the middle of the story, so there'll be questions, which actually is helpful because then I'll go with that one way or the other because it's kind of where their mind's at then. So I actually don't mind when they do that because it gives me a moment to think, oh, this is what we need to do.
Yeah,
so.
They love that.
You know, and just on the line of how to come up with ideas, because we want people to be creative, and what you've got there is really good. You're listening to what they're already talking about, at least the genre, and some of your old stories that you're drawing from. And I've heard of other people at times who will ask the kids, just every one of you give me a character for the story. So they it gets wild. I mean, they try to stump you, but that's the fun of
it. That's what you did that night at their house.
Is that what we did?
And it's keeping the facts in order, because you'll get called out on that too.
That's right.
Like there wasn't phones in the 1800s. You're right. But there's something like it.
That's right, yeah.
So that's are your great. Stories long, or do you go a whole hour with them?
Last night we did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, typically it's 30 to 40 minutes, depending on how creative I can be that night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I kind of roll around. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes along with bedtime, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets them motivated to actually get ready for bed,
because
they know they'll have more time for the story.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so that's another helpful aspect of it.
My stories kind of went along with bedtime, too.
Mm-hmm.
When it got closer to my bedtime, the story got closer to finishing.
Right.
Especially as I got older, they got shorter.
Right.
So, one question I had here was, how often do you find storytelling to be the best for your kids' ages? How often do you do it? You said you did it once a week, though.
Yeah, I think the once a week is good. If I did it more than that, it would be harder on me, I feel like, just because of everything going on. And I think eventually the luster would wear off. They might still enjoy it, but doing it every other night or every night, I think that would be a bit much.
I really like the idea of Tuesday night, story night, or you know, some special event.
Like Taco Tuesday.
There you go.
Well, our grandkids call it a story from your mouth. I want a story from your mouth instead of reading a book. So tell us a story of how your daughters responded to your stories. Like what is there a special?
Yeah, the first one we did, I think it probably had two. I didn't judge the age as well. So there were certain aspects of it that were scarier to them, especially the younger ones, the younger two, like with the lightning effects and sound effects you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we kind of ease back on that, or I kind of give them an expectation now that something might be coming, so they can prep for it, because the surprise element goes away. But yeah, no, it's just funny, because when we missed it, what was that, a week or two ago for that week, they were genuinely upset about it, like sad. Mm-hmm. Not just because, oh, I want to stay up late and hear a story, we're not doing that, mad. No, they were actually sad we weren't doing it.
Yeah, they want to hear the next part.
Exactly. So it's just kind of affirming for me, too,
that
they enjoy it.
It's daddy time.
Yeah. And you know, a part we didn't mention, I think a big part of it, too, is trying to weave in good morals within the stories themselves.
Okay.
Characters.
Characters, decisions they make within the story, even if it's a crazy story, just how they go about decision making.
Because
I know
a
lot of people have issues, you know, with movies now and all the undertones that are in them and that sort of thing. So you can kind of edit that and make your own without having to have much talent. So, which is nice.
I think that
like you are talented.
Yeah, you are. And something you said there is really important for people to understand, for parents to understand, is that you can convey moral education, moral teaching, and judgment and wisdom through stories. Mm-hmm. And that's what media is doing.
Mm-hmm.
They use our stories, and even though they're on the big screen and they're very elaborate and expensive, very simply done, it is telling of a story, but within that story, the heroes, the characters within it that you build up to be the heroes or the role models, their actions are the ones that kids in particular, when they're listening, they think that's real. Mm-hmm. There's a way in which they just cannot dissociate that from reality. It's very close to real. So they assume some of those things. If they like that character, even if he's a bad guy,
right.
If they like him, then they end up being kind of like the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
They assume, they for themselves, they assume some of those morals. So you get a chance, parents get a chance to create their and craft their own stories and mm-hmm. put their morals in there mm-hmm. and let the characters have the good morals or decision, even how to make decisions,
yeah.
how to respond to the bad guys and,
right.
and wrong mm-hmm. things. It's such a great tool that parents have if they use it.
And you can keep it with different perspectives as well. So someone within the story that seems like a bad guy towards the end might not be.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you portray that perspective makes them believe that, and then you can discuss why that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah. there's a ton of layers.
You guys have a lot of discussions. We do.
Usually after we're done, there's another 10-15 minutes of just questions mm-hmm. about why. why did this happen? Why do you do this?
That may be
now
because
I want to hear
daughters.
The stories.
Yeah. What's that?
Now I want to hear them.
Yeah.
Maybe.
The questions may be because you have girls. See, I had mostly boys.
Yeah.
And there was never like, well, why this or why that? It was kind of like, can you tell us more?
Right.
Well, can he kill this guy next time?
Right. I mean,
they're just kind of, yeah. they're just the detail
yeah.
guy. They're into
basic.
The action mm-hmm. of the story and not to the motivations and the thinking or any of the feelings behind it.
Yep. Oh, that's true.
Other than fear, which they kind of wanted. But I didn't tell scary stories purposely. And if I did have something that was kind of on the edge, I was yeah. paying attention to the kids. If they're yeah. a little bit nervous and I get, especially the younger, then I would lighten it up pretty quickly and I would make it into a humorous situation.
Yeah.
So we would turn it pretty quick.
Well, that's one of the things I learned right away. Because, yeah, things that I wouldn't think I always thought was scary when I was their age mm-hmm. actually can be.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to kind of feel it out, especially when they're laying right next to you and then they
yeah,
tense
right.
up. Yeah, that's happened a couple of times.
Yeah. So that's true because they think it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. I remember being afraid as a child when I'd watched a TV show or something that was probably pretty hokey, really. But
right.
at the time, it seemed scary and I couldn't sleep at night. I was terrified. Something's going to get me.
Right.
So we shy from, we just decided not to go that way in our stories.
I want to say something on that. I know yeah. Caleb and Christina, when they tell stories to their kids, they will say,
that's our son and
that's
his
one of our
wife.
Kids. Mm-hmm. He finally realized that sometimes it was so real to them that he would have them say, is this a real story? Can this really happen?
Yeah.
Just so that they would have that, you know, come back down to earth. This was very... It was fantasy,
mm-hmm.
and it was fun, but it's not real.
Yeah.
But this is a real story. Like, you can do both.
That's
in
true.
That way. Or he'll say, which part of the story could not really happen?
Right. No, because I've always liked, I've never really liked fiction that much.
Mm-hmm.
So I like kind of historical fiction a
yeah.
little bit, but mostly, you know, things actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of mine tend to go that route some ways.
Yeah.
Like, I relate them to real places and
mm-hmm.
things.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is a question that comes up a lot. Is that real? Did that really happen? Or could that really happen? Yeah, all the time. All the yeah. time.
So to give us kind of if you don't mind, give us a little preview, a little gist, some kind of overview of what you've been doing.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a series.
Yeah,
that's
there's,
what I'm hearing.
There's a couple series.
Wow.
So our oldest, she was really into like the Anne of Green Gables,
yeah.
Little Women, those sort of stories. And
have you read those stories?
We've read them all. Well,
you have too?
I've heard them all.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm usually there when they were going. But like our oldest, she's read them too.
Yeah.
But she talks about them with her sisters all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I have essentially two stories we'll rotate. So a little more detail, each month, it'll be 4 or 5 weeks of a story. Then we'll switch it the next month. So the first month was about three brothers. Are their names? Dan, Chris,
voice.
And Neil. Just something easy to remember. So that's mm-hmm. That's what we picked. So it's about three brothers mm-hmm. and their family. The first one was they went camping. I won't get into details of what they were doing. And then the next one, they wanted to have girls in it because obviously mm-hmm. they're girls. So we have two sisters and a brother kind of in the middle. But I know for this most recent one too, that takes place in like late 1800s in North Carolina. Like the islands, like Outer Banks area.
Mm-hmm.
They moved from, what was it, Washington State, Wyoming, something mm-hmm. out there. They would tell you the right answer. I don't remember. And yeah, it's just crazy because they remember every single detail and call me out on it if I miss one little bit of it. Uh-huh. And it's
that'd be hard to remember.
It really is. But but they help guide the story. So like for example, for some reason they really wanted the mom in this because this is the second basically story of this group, the North Carolina one. They wanted the mom to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. So now the mom's pregnant. Mm-hmm. So at some point we're gonna have a new character.
Yeah.
And I keep getting questions about that all the time.
That's
so yeah.
Cute.
Yeah. And we'll see. I may have to come up with more and end one of these series soon. It can't go on that long, I don't think. Maybe it can. Boxcar Children's a big one too.
Let me offer this. I started a series when our first two boys were probably 7 and 5, or were they younger than that, maybe?
Maybe even a little bit younger.
A little younger than that. And it's still going.
The Blue Tick?
Yeah. Pete and Jake.
Pete and Jake.
Yeah, I have Pete and Jake. And those stories, you know, the I don't know all the parts of crafting a story, but you have this introduction at some point. You start somewhere, and then you introduce characters. There is some tension that goes on. There's some problem or issue. There's a tension, and it goes. And it reaches a point where it's like, oh, no. The worst has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this resurgence, this resurrection.
Wait, that's usually where you say, oh, that's the end. That's enough for tonight.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm talking about just in telling stories.
I know.
Just
the
story
genre.
You always
have the cliffhanger and pretend like you're done, and then you make the kids beg for
the
next
part. Oh, you have to.
Yeah. So there's this, like, oh no, it's all over, and then there's this, but wait, and then here comes the rescue. Mm-hmm. And so as I tell the stories, they always start off the same, and this might be something that it kind of gets your children in the mood or in the swing of things. And it could be beforehand, like you or mom saying, okay, it's Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, we got 3 minutes, go brush your teeth, everybody hop in bed, and all that gets kind of everybody ready. Yeah. For us, it was, I started them all off once upon a time, a long time ago, in a faraway place. There were two old pioneers named Pete and Jake, and their hunting dog named Blue Tick. Now. And then at now, it's a new story.
Yeah.
So that kind of warmed them up, and it's been that way for all these years.
Well, that reminds me, one thing, too, that I do at the beginning of each one is it helps me, too. I was like, okay, who wants to do the recap? So they basically do a recap of everything that was going on in the story and what was going on.
That helps.
It does.
That's a good idea because I forget one before.
Exactly what we did. So you can know then what they remember and what they don't and what you can change if you need to.
Well, I want to encourage you in this and parents who are will consider this. I hope that we have some families who start doing this. Especially, it's just a great way for dad to connect. Not just dad, but it's really a special way for dads to connect at the end of their day when they may not have the energy to have looked up a book and checked it out and that kind of thing. But I want to encourage you to do something that I'm starting to do, which is to record those.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Put your phone there, whatever, and voice record your stories and keep them.
I don't need to do that. We have one of our daughters has a tape recorder, or one of the digital ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, she's already recorded.
Wonderful. That is so good.
And actually, she started doing her own stories.
Wow.
So she writes
that's
them.
That's wonderful.
But she'll also then either basically do a books on tape on a recorder.
There you go.
Or she'll just start telling them too through the recorder. And for our
she's
trip that's coming up.
Yeah, an author.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah, for the trip that's coming up, she's prepped some for her sisters.
Yeah. So. Wow, that's great. Yeah, our granddaughter, one of our oldest granddaughter has started writing stories.
Mm-hmm.
And writing, and she's really done, her second one is pretty incredible beginning. We were shocked, like, wow, this could be good. I want to hear the rest of this story. And also, there's something that the adventuresome might consider that I'm working on is Amazon has a book, self-publishing book arm called Kindle Direct. And then within that, they have something called Bella. It's just coming out, and it's a way to record episodes, like chapters or a series of stories. And they're written, but you can record them audibly and then transcribe those. And
it's like a podcast for your stories.
And I'm going to do those with my Pete and Jake stories for my grandchildren.
Oh, that's cool.
And because they'll be put into a book that can be, you can purchase one or a dozen, or hundreds, whatever you want to do. And it records our stories audibly as well as we'll have those things. I'll transcribe those. Mm-hmm. So we'll have them for the grandkids and the great-grandkids and on like that, because we were introducing morals in story form and teaching. Why is teaching there? And where else are they going to get it, or better to get it than from mom and dad? And I think that's great. So thank you. I'm glad you're doing it. We would like to hear some of those stories one of these days, if you ever get them recorded, or she does. And
yeah, you can get them from her.
We'll get them from her. It sounds fun. It's such a good thing. I'm so glad you picked up on that. Yeah, and you're doing it. Yeah, that night that we visited, the girls just, there was one that was sitting here, and all of a sudden another one, and you have four.
It was so cute.
So they were, I was just like,
I got a picture.
Alarm load of these girls, and they were so attentive to the stories.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. It was great.
Yep.
Super. It's a way to win your children's hearts. And boy, we have to do anything we can now to compete with media and all of that. And a bedtime story still has great power.
Yeah.
That's
does.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, I guess the only thing is I wish we'd have started earlier.
Good. Well, maybe some of them
are still young.
Maybe some of those who are listening, this will be a jump start for them, and they may have little bitty ones, and it's just start now, and it'll be so good. And I hope they'll record their stories for their kids too.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Talon.
Thank you.
Bless you. Well, thank you again for visiting us today at Restoring Home, and we may have some additional material down in the notes below the video, so be sure to check there to see if we have some other goodies for you. And we hope that you will be telling stories to your children soon. And God bless you until we meet together again for another Restoring Home.